In Jeremiah 3, verse 15, it says, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who lead you with knowledge and understanding." Amen. So, you know, even as we've come, we have our shepherd here with us this afternoon, here to preach to us, here to tell us what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. So without further ado, make some noise, use the reactions if you can, use the chat button, do something, jump up, scream, shout, as we welcome Elder Dylan! Woo!
Wow. Happy to see everyone. Welcome back again for another Sunday service. It's a blessing to see all of you guys here in church. This week we had a retreat with Bishop Henry, and I believe it was a very blessed time. I believe a lot of people, you know, had the opportunity to really grow and learn how to pray for long periods of time. So you see, after going to something like that, you know, praying for an hour, 2 hours, you know, it feels like it should be easy probably, because if you can pray for 11 hours in a day, praying for an hour or 2 hours, it becomes easy. It's a habit. So I just want to encourage us to, you know, keep the prayer habit, like whatever prayer habit you are able to develop there, whatever length of times you are able to pray there. I'm sure most of us have never prayed that much before. So whatever habit you are able to develop there, you know, keep it going, keep the routine going. Obviously you may not be able to pray for 11 hours every day, but keeping the habit, keeping the routine, keeping the practice, you know, such as things like speaking in tongues and prayer are things that you have to continuously do for them to really stick with you and for them to really stay with you. Amen. So yeah, so today is actually our last Sunday going through the determinants. This is it. We won't continue the determinants again. Next week, we're beginning a new series. It's a very special topic. I really want to invite you, but also invite your friends for next week's service. I'll give you maybe a preview or a little snippet. So next week, the title of next week's message is actually called Your Daddy's Devils. Yeah, Your Daddy's Devils. So I'm sure some of us may be wondering, what does that mean when I say Your Daddy's Devils? What exactly could we be talking about? What does it even mean? So you have to tune in next week, and you'll be blessed by that message. Amen. So, let's have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing for us. I thank you, Lord, for where you are taking our church, Lord. Lord, your word says that wherever two or three are gathered, you are there. And as we come to church and as we are in your midst this afternoon, God, be here with us, Lord. Help us, oh, Father God. Help us, Lord, to grow. Help us to grow personally in our relationships with you. May we not stay the same. May the seeds that have been put into us, may the words that have been spoken over our lives, may they come to pass, God. May we truly learn and grow and develop into who we are supposed to become. May we recognize when it is the right time for us to do the right thing, God. I pray and I give you thanks, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. I see that you are changing us, that you are increasing us, God, that you are developing us. And I pray that you will continue to develop us and help us to grow stronger. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So yeah, so today is the last Sunday that we'll be discussing the topic on the determinants. The determinants. So, you know, if we can actually project Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. This has been our key memory verse for the entire series on the determinants. The Bible says here, "I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong." Yeah, so we talked about speed, we talked about strength as two determinants, nor food come to the wise. We talked about wealth, or wealth to the brilliant. I'm sorry, we talked about wisdom, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Amen. So you see, time and chance in life really determines many things for us. You know, this week at the prayer retreat, many people came up to me and said that, "Oh, I feel like Delaware or Philly, I feel like you guys are coming on fast. I feel like you guys are coming on fast." It was something I heard multiple times from different pastors there. And see, one of the things that struck me as I was thinking about it, because I sometimes don't necessarily feel that way. But one of the things that struck me as they were telling me that is really just time and chance. Like, we've been like, this is the time for us to do what we are supposed to do. And you see, we are one of the newer branches in First Love. So as we are one of the newer branches in First Love, many of these other branches are already big, or they are maybe not even big in a certain way, but they've already been established. They already have some people. But you see, whatever is new is always given a greater chance. Like, this is our window. This is our time to be fruitful. This is our time and our opportunity. And the fact that people are seeing it, and the fact that it's something that is said, you know, again and again and again to us, it is a sign that it is our time. And one of the things we spoke about when we talked about this Determinant series, for those of you who were here, when we spoke about speed, we actually talked about how to recognize a door. Yeah, we talked about how to recognize a door. And you see, one of the things that we talked about, for those of you who have your notes, you can pull up your notes on the Determinant speed. But we talked about how to recognize a door, right? Or how to recognize a door. And I gave three ways to recognize a door. And the first way is to recognize an opportunity that comes in the midst of other unworkable options. Yeah, yeah. The second way is to discern that an opportunity will not always be there. Yeah, and that's the point that struck me, is like this is our door, because it's an opportunity that may not always be here. And many of us, you know, by God's grace, we've decided to be a part of the work. We've decided to be a part of the church, and we've decided to not just be a part of the church as church members, but we've decided to become leaders and shepherds and people who actually want to do something in the church. And it shows a certain level of speed. It's like we are practically putting in place the things we've learned. Yeah, like when we talk about speed, when we talk about recognizing doors, we're actually putting in place that. Like, we've all recognized that this is something. Yeah, and so I want to encourage us as we continue, as we are moving into new areas, as we are trying to do something for God, as we're trying to do our best, I want to encourage us to continue to recognize when an opportunity is given to you, right? When you have a chance to do something for God, and it's not really, you can't really tell what's happening, or you can't really tell what's going on. Yeah, many of us didn't really know, as we were going to this prayer retreat, many of us didn't really know what we were going to do there. Yeah, I remember talking and people were asking, like, oh, are we going to pray all day? Is it preaching? Like, many of us didn't really know what was going to happen. But I'm sure after the camp, if I ask those who went, I'm sure, you know, many of us were blessed by it. Many of us were blessed by the experience. And it was a blessing to all of us. So I just want to encourage us to continue to stay apart, continue to stay engaged, continue to want to do more. Amen. Understanding. The last determinant for this series is called understanding, right? So understanding is a determinant. What does it mean to be someone who is full of understanding? Yeah, every Christian must desire to be filled with the spirit of understanding. Understanding means you are able to know how to do things. Yeah, you are able to know how to do things. You are able to know how to put things into action. Like, when I speak to you, when I'm telling you, oh, we should be engaged in the church, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, you actually understand it. You're not just hearing it and it's like just words, but you actually understand what I'm trying to get you to see. If you turn your Bibles to, before we go there, I'm going to give us five things that understanding determines. So for all of our lives, there's five things that understanding will determine. So if you have the spirit of understanding, it will determine five things for us. The first thing is your understanding determines your ability to know what time it is. Yeah, what time it is. That's why the verse in Ecclesiastes says time and chance. Like, all of us have a time for something. For some of us, it is supposed to be a time to be very serious about school. Like, very committed, very serious, like nothing else will get in the way of what I'm doing. For some of us, it is a time to be very serious about making money, tithe. For some of us, it is a time to be very serious about the church and about trying to be more involved in the church work, to be more involved with Christianity. You know, I heard Prophet Bishop Dagher Mills, he says this all the time, that, you know, when you're in college, you should aim to graduate college with 2 degrees. Right. So obviously, when you're in college, you're working towards your bachelor's degree or your associate's if you're different community, but your bachelor's degree, right? So all of us, so you're working towards that. But as you are working towards that degree, you should also aim to graduate college with another degree. You should aim to graduate college with your spiritual degree as well. Yeah, all of us should become better Christians by the time we finish school than by the time we began school. Yeah, so when we say recognize what time it is, it's like you have the ability to know what the time is or what the season is in your life that you are currently engaged in. Yeah, that you are currently engaged in. And you know, I remember some years ago, one of my pastors told me that many people actually struggle to focus on the right thing at the right time. Yeah, it's like now is a season to be focused on school, but you're focused on other things. You're focused on work. You're focused on this, focused on that. But it's actually the season to focus on school. And many people are not able to focus on what they need to focus on at the right time. And a lot of times the people who struggle with this are actually people who think a lot about their future. Yeah, how many of us sometimes, or we know some people like that. It's like they think a lot about their future. And when I say think, I don't just mean they wonder. I mean, they've actually gone through planning. Like they have a 5-year plan and they have it in place year by year. I want to do this by this age. I want to do this by this age and I want to accomplish. I mean, all of us have things like that. And all of us know people who are like that. But you see, a lot of times you are so caught up and so focused in the 5 years or even in the 10 years that you actually forget what is happening right now that you need to accomplish today. You actually forget what you are doing right now that you need to accomplish today. Recently, someone sent me something and I read it and it was saying that the life you have today, like the life you have right now today, what is it? It's Sunday, June 6th, and it's exactly 1 o'clock. The life you have right now today is a buildup of all the decisions you made 5 years ago. So if you're in college today, it is because 5 years ago you were in high school. And within those 5 years, you decided to apply to college and go to college. If you are working today, it's because 5 years ago, you decided to see the importance in working. Whatever your life is like today, it is a buildup of what things you were doing 5 years ago. So you see, 5 years from now, your life will be a buildup of the decisions you are taking today. Like if you are in school today, the life you will have 5 years from 5 years time down the line will be a buildup of every decision you make today. Yeah, it is, but you must focus on the today. Like in order to have the life you want 5 years from now, you must focus on the today. You can't be more worried about that than this. This is what is important. Amen. So let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. It says, from Issachar, men who understood the times. Yeah, men who understood the times, like they knew what to do. The next line says, and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives understood the command, like they understood the times. You see, because of the times, they understood what they should do. Yeah, and that's why I was saying that, you know, there's a certain time for our church to grow and we are in it. So we must understand what to do. Yeah, there's a certain time for our church to be one of the churches that's like, oh, Delaware, Philly, what's going on there? And this is the time for it. And we must know what to do with the time. Yeah, I was in a certain meeting and they were assessing some churches. They were actually assessing some of the First Love churches. And many of the First Love churches, one of the things I took away was many of the First Love churches are actually not growing. Like many of the First Love churches are actually staying at a certain size or they're even reducing mercy. They're even reducing. Yeah. And it's like some people's season for growth, some people's season to be serious about the work of God, or some people's season to be filled with a lot of energy and excitement about what they're doing has passed. And now they're trying to regain it, or they're trying to now realign with how to successfully do it. And it becomes difficult. It becomes very difficult. Yeah, many of us, we know a lot of the big branches in First Love North America. I can name them, you can name them. But besides those three or four, name who you really know from some of the other branches. It's just one or two people. Or maybe unfortunately, all you really know is the pastor there. And that shouldn't be the case. So you see, there's a time for growth. There's a time to be engaged with the work. There's a time to be focused on, wow, I'm a part of a great thing. I'm a part of a blessing. and I need to really be involved with it all the way. I need to be fully committed to it. Like, you need to tie yourself to it for this time and this season in your life. So understanding determines your ability to know what time it is. The next thing that understanding determines is whether you will be shown mercy or not. Yeah, understanding determines whether you'll be shown mercy or not. Now, what is mercy? You see, mercy is when you are forgiven for what you do not, for what you don't deserve to be forgiven for. Yeah, mercy is when God watches you execute your sin. He watches you plan it, execute it, fulfill all your plans, and he chooses to still forgive you, or he chooses to even forgive you and not to punish you. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the wages of sin is death. But many times, many of us, we don't actually die when we sin. Yeah, how many of us have realized that? That as the wages of sin is death in the Bible, and that's what the word of God says. When you sin, you don't just die. God doesn't just kill you and just say, forget this person because you've made a mistake. Yeah, he actually gives you a second chance and a third chance. God is a God of many chances. Yeah, God is a God of the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth chance. That's why the Bible says that a spiritual man falls seven times but riseth again. Like, if you are spiritual and if you are a Christian, what you must know is you will fall. You will make mistakes. You will fall down. You will do what you told yourself you wouldn't do again. You will definitely do it again. But the Bible says that a spiritual man falls seven times and rises again. Yeah, a spiritual man falls seven times and rises again. That's seven times. It doesn't just mean you only have seven times to fall. What it means is that you will be falling again and again throughout your life. It means that you'll be making mistakes again and again throughout your life. But the point here is that you must rise again. The key to being spiritual, the key to being a Christian isn't to fall. Yeah, just because you have fallen doesn't mean that you lose something. But the falling isn't the problem. The problem is when people don't rise again. When people stay down, when people stay in a certain place, like they don't want to increase, they don't want to grow, they don't want to get back up and try again. That is the issue. You know, how many of us have heard of the book, The Final Quest? Or I've even read the book before, The Final Quest. Yeah. So The Final Quest book, I think it's in chapter one, or it's in one of the early chapters. The Final Quest book is a book written by Rick Joyner. And it's a book actually of visions that he had, visions that God gave him. And in one of the visions, he was on a mountain, or like a, I believe it was a mountain with different levels. And as you read the book, and I encourage all of us, if we can get a copy of the book, to get a copy of it. And the book will really change how you view your Christianity. That's what I would say. But on one of the mountains, he was on a higher level. So as he was in the vision, he was on a higher level and he could see down. And as he could see down, he could see that the first level of this mountain was called salvation. And he said that most of the people on the mountain, he was on a much higher level in the mountain, and every level had a different name. But he said that most of the people on the mountain, most of the people who were on the mountain were just struggling to hold on to the first level, which was called salvation. Like, most of us are just struggling to hold on to being saved. Most of us are just struggling to hold on to, wow, I'm actually a Christian. Most people are just struggling to stay there. And it's a fight to just stay there. It is a fight to actually stay saved. It is a fight to actually remain a Christian. Yeah, it is actually a fight. And what you need to remain a Christian and to stay saved is mercy. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 11, please. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 11. When its twigs are dry, they are broken off, and women come and make fires with them. For this is a people without understanding, so their maker has no compassion on them. Wow. Yeah, so without understanding, you lose the compassion of God. Yeah, this verse is a great verse to show you the importance of understanding. Understanding, being somebody with understanding, with the spirit of understanding, links you to what? It links you to the compassion of God. It says that, so their maker has no compassion on them. Mercy is another word for compassion. The two words are interchangeable. They're tied together, because for somebody to show you mercy, it means they show you compassion. And their creator shows them no favor. Yeah, favor also is lost. Wow, I love this verse. But favor also is lost when you don't have understanding. If you're somebody without understanding, you not only lose mercy, you also lose favor as well. How many of us need favor? Like, you actually need favor. Yeah, favor is what will set you apart from other people. When everyone looks the same, when everyone is the same in the room and there's somebody who needs to be chosen, it is favor that will make you be chosen. Yeah, favor is how you cross many things in life. If you're going to graduate college, it's actually favor that you need. It's not a good study habit. You need a good study habit, don't get me wrong. But really, what will allow you to finish is favor. It is favor that will allow you to get a job. It is favor that will allow you to get married. It is actually favor that you need. Amen. The third thing that understanding determines is your ability to fulfill your calling. Wow. Understanding determines your ability to fulfill your calling. Yeah, all of us are called to be something. Yeah, by the grace of God, all of us are called. All of us have a call in our lives. And the first step is to discover what that call is. Yeah, that's why it's important to pray. Pray that God will allow you to fulfill your call. As you pray that God allows you to fulfill your call, he will put you in places where now your call is being shown. Yeah, as you are there, you are now being in a place where it's like, I don't know, it's like something is happening to you. Like something is being pushed out of you. Like what you didn't think you could do, you are now doing. You know, this week, I was watching a camp video actually this week. And it was a camp with Bishop Dag here at Mills that happened in, I think it was like 2013 or 2014. I was very young. I had just graduated high school. And it wasn't really a national camp. It wasn't a camp that a lot of people knew about. It was more of a private type of thing. But I went with my pastor Daniel. I went aside of my pastor. And as I was there, Prophet had a meeting with some people who were not pastors. And I was watching the camp video today. I'm sorry, this week. And I completely forgot that he said this. But he said in the meeting, as I was watching the video, he said in the meeting, all of you here, if you don't become pastors within the next 5 to 10 years, you've wasted the call of God on your life. And I was 18 when he said it. And I completely forgot. But as I was watching it, I was like, wow, like it's actually something that someone said. Yeah. And you see, that's why it's important that to take things that people say seriously. Yeah. When somebody who is a bishop or somebody who is at that high level speaks something into your life, or even somebody who's your pastor speaks something into your life, you have to actually receive it. Yeah. Like you can't take it lightly. Many times prophecies are said as just common words. Like they just said as just anything. But no, it's not just anything. Actually, it's actually what will take place in your life. And you actually need to receive it as such. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew 4, 18, please. Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, right? So Jesus, the people who he called had understanding. Yeah, the people who he called to become his disciples, they had to have a certain level of understanding in order to become actual disciples. So Matthew 4:18, the Bible says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Yeah, they had understanding about what was happening. They had understanding about who this person was. That's why they were able to quickly come and follow him. Verse 21, please. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, verse 22. And immediately they left the boat with their father and followed him. Amen. So this is a story to show some of the people in the Bible who Jesus called. These were not even all of the 12, but these were the ones who had quick understanding. Quick understanding as in you don't question when something is being given to you. When an opportunity is being given to you, you don't question it. They could have questioned it. Why? What does he mean by he'll make us fishers of men? Yeah, that's even a funny way to word it. What does he mean by that? But they didn't question it. They chose to have quick understanding. And with that understanding, allowed them to fulfill their call. If we can go back to verse 21, it actually allowed them to fulfill their purpose and fulfill their call. Yeah, it says that. And going from there, he saw two brothers, James. In the Bible, we have a book called James that we actually read on Sundays and we read throughout our week. It's called James in the Bible. He wrote the book. and he and how and now his book is in the Bible. Yeah. So you see, many of us, he would have never fulfilled his call if he didn't have quick understanding. And many of us are not able to fulfill what we are supposed to do because we lack quick understanding. So we lose the opportunity. If he didn't jump on this opportunity, he wouldn't have been able to have a book written in the Bible. Yeah, to actually have a book in the Bible named after him that he wrote. And we have John. Yeah, John is also in the Bible. Whenever, not John, who was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. No, John in the Bible, when you read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the New Testament, that is this John, the brother of James. Yeah, that's John. And it is actually believed that that John was actually the youngest of the 12 disciples. Yeah, so people also, Bible theologists also believe that John, he also wrote the book of Revelation because all the disciples had passed away at that point. And because he was the youngest, he was about 16 years. So when this conversation happened, when Jesus saw the two of them, he was about 16 years here, like 16 years old. So he was the youngest of the 12. And people believe that he actually also wrote the book of Revelation as well, because all the other disciples had passed away and he was the only one who was still alive. So the book of Revelation is actually a vision from John that he wrote. Amen. So yeah, your understanding determines your ability to fulfill your calling, right? The faster you can understand what is being given to you, the faster you can understand the opportunity that you have in front of you determines your ability to fulfill that call. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may see the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Amen. The key part about this verse is that I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. If you read this verse in another version, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened with understanding, like your understanding will be enlightened. Yeah, to know the hope that to which he has called you, like to know what God has called you, what you need is understanding. Yeah, what you need actually is understanding to know why God has called you, to know what you are supposed to do, to know how to fulfill the call. What you need is understanding. Yeah, and simply just wearing a title is not understanding. Simply just wearing a title as a center leader or as a Wacenter leader is not understanding. What is going to fulfill that call of God over your life is actually what you do with the title. Now that you have the position, what do you do with the position? If you remember, we talked about wisdom, and we talk about people who lack wisdom, they're not able to fulfill important positions. When you're a center leader or a center leader, you're part of the main function of the church. So you hold a very important position in the church. Yeah. And when you don't have understanding, you can't really fulfill what it requires to do the role. When you don't have understanding of what it's entitled, you actually can't fulfill the call that's being given to you. Yeah. So as you wear the title, as you have a title, for those of us who were at the prayer retreat that we had this past week, I don't know how many of you noticed this, but it's something I noticed, something I pay attention to a lot. So I believe it was the Friday night, Bishop Henry had a pastoral appointment service. So he actually had a part of his service where he appointed. So recently, at First Up North America, we've appointed new pastors and reverends, and he wanted to formally in person hand them their certificates. So as he was going through handing the certificates out, one thing I noticed was for some of the larger churches, when their pastors got called up, I believe it was Hanover and Jersey and also New York, when their pastors got called up, they ran to the front and made a lot of noise. There was a lot of excitement. And it was actually very nice to see, actually very enjoyable to see and watch. It was actually very fun. But I think it was after the Hanover group, after Reverend Joab went up, and after the Hanover group went up, I noticed that Bishop Henry made a comment. So as they were going back to their seats after they ran to the front, Bishop Henry made a comment where he said, help him do the work as you are this excited. I don't know how many of us noticed or heard him say that. But he said, help him do the work, because the excitement is useless if you're not helping him. And he can only be as successful in wearing the title as Reverend if the people who ran to the front all help him. His title cannot be of any good use if the people who ran to the front don't help him. And the people who ran to the front, they need understanding to help him. What they actually need to help him fulfill that call of being a reverend is understanding. Yeah, many of the people who ran to the front are center leaders and were center leaders in the First Love Hanover Church. And what they need to help him is understanding. And what anyone who wears the title, who wears any title in the church, what you really need to be successful is understanding. And that's why, you know, I don't know how many people notice that, you know, I see that you guys noticed it, but I actually don't know how many people noticed that Bishop Henry said that, because the excitement was so much. But it was something I paid attention to. It's something I stuck with me, because it was like, he could have easily have said, oh, Charlie, Reverend Joab, your people are wild. He could have easily have said that, but he actually was talking to the people and saying, no, you guys help him do the work as you are. That's excited. And it's something that has stuck with me, because what you really need to help fulfill any call is your understanding level. Amen. And then I think the fourth one, right? So the fourth thing that your understanding can determine, for those of us taking notes, comes from Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Understanding determines how self-controlled you are. Yeah, your understanding will determine your ability to really control your flesh, to control your temper. Yeah, really, it is really determined. That's why, ladies, when you meet a guy, see, one of the things you should allow, you see, when guys come around, they don't really show who they are very quickly. One of the things you should allow time to show is his temper. How quick-tempered is he? Because if you read this verse, this is in the NIV version of the Bible. If you read this verse in the King James version, actually, let's read it in the King James. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Let's all turn our Bibles there. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14. And let's read it in the King James version. It says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of the spirit exalteth folly. What the word means fully there is that it's like, he that exalteth quickly, or he that is quick-tempered, is actually a fool. Yeah, so ladies, when you meet someone and he's nice in the beginning and everything is very peaceful and kind, that's great, it's wonderful. But give him time to get upset. See how quickly his temper is, because his temper is attached to a lot of things according to the Bible. You see, his temper is attached also to his foolishness level. Yeah, like his temper is attached to how foolish he actually is. Because if you are quick-tempered about everything, and if everything you just blow up about, it means you have no understanding. Understanding of time and place, understanding of when is the right time to react, understanding of anything. And you see, this goes for any other relationship you may have in your life. Notice when people are quick-tempered. Notice when people are always blowing up. I did like 1, 2, 3, just upset. 1, 2, 3, they're just blowing up on you. Always be quick to notice that. That goes for the guys as well. Be quick to notice when you meet someone and they have a very fast temper. Yeah, Ty, I'm talking to you. Be quick to notice when you meet someone and they have a very fast temper. When you notice someone and it's like 1, 2, 3, they're just angry. 1, 2, 3, they're just blowing up. 1, 2, 3, it's like she can't speak to you rationally. When she's upset, she just has to get it off her chest right now. It doesn't matter where we're at. If we're at a prayer retreat with Bishop Henry and you've upset me, I have to say it now. Yeah, be careful. Yeah, those type of people are dangerous to have around you. Like they can't wait. They can't think. It shows something. It shows a sign of like a lack of understanding. Amen. And then the last one, right? So the last thing that understanding determines, yeah, is your ability to receive advice when it is given. Wow. This is my favorite one. Understanding determines your ability to receive advice when it is given. John chapter 21 and verse 18. John chapter 21 and verse 18. It says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourselves and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Wow, what a verse. It's telling us that, you know, as young people, when you are young, you think you can dress yourself. And we do. You dress yourself, you go where you want to go, you make your own moves. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you and take you where you do not want to go. What it's actually talking about is not age, but rather maturity. Like when you are mature, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you. Someone else will lead you and tell you where you and where to go. And by being led, when you are mature, it means that you can be led to a place you do not want to go. Yeah, when you are mature, someone can tell you, go to place A. And you don't want to go to place A. But because this person has said, go here, you are going. Yeah, it's a sign of being mature. It's a sign of maturity. It means that you've grown up to a certain level. Like when someone speaks to you and tells you what you don't want to hear, you can still do the thing. Yeah, it's actually a sign of openness. It's a sign of maturity. It means you've grown up. It means that you've developed yourself to a place spiritually, mentally. It means that your understanding has really grown. Amen. So how many of us know the story of Laman the leper? If you read in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 4. Yeah, so Naaman the leper, he had a disease. He had a certain skin disease. So leprosy in the Bible days was equivalent to what we call like cancer, because it was almost incurable. When you have leprosy, it's like basically a death sentence. So Naaman had this disease. So if you start reading, we're going to read a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 4, it says, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel has said. In verse 5, by all means, go, the king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. Wow, verse 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. So tearing his robes is like a sign of sadness or a sign of stress. Yeah, in the Bible days, whenever you hear somebody say that the king or even anyone had torn their clothes, it's a sign of like sadness, stress. It's a sign of crime. In the Bible, when you read the story of Joseph, for example, and Joseph's brothers attempted to kill him, and they went back to their father with Joseph's robe, the robe of many colors. It actually says that Joseph's father tore his robe, like he tore his clothes off because he was so sad. And he was, it was a sign of stress and sadness. So verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Wow, Elisha, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. So it was a simple command, right? He showed up with leprosy, an incurable disease. And Elisha told him, go wash yourself 7 times in the river. It was a simple command. It was a simple instruction. And your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry. Yeah. And see, this point, many of us, when we receive advice, we get, some of us, if we don't want to hear it, or if we had an expectation to hear something else, we become angry with the person who gave us the advice. Yeah, I've done this before myself. I went to my pastor looking for advice, trying to figure out what he thinks I should do. He told me exactly what he thinks I should do. He gave me what I should do. And I got angry with him because I didn't want to hear what he said I should do. Yeah, I got frustrated. I got angry with him. And I actually told myself, I'm not going to do what he's told me to do at all. Mercy, Lord. I told myself, I'm not going to do what he said I should do one bit. And I did the complete opposite of what he said I should do. He told me to do something and I did the complete opposite. He told me, he was telling me I should wait 6 months before I do something. I remember it was January of 1 year. I think it was January of 20, it was January, maybe 2018. And he told me to do something, but he told me wait 6 months to do it. So if it's January, he's basically telling me don't do this thing until June. I got angry because I wanted to do it right then. I wanted to do it right then in January. And he told me, no, wait 6 months. And I remember we were in his car. And when I got out of his car, I told myself, I'm doing it now. So I did what I wanted to do right then and there. I did it in January. And it caused me a lot of problems. It caused me a lot of headaches, a lot of mistakes when I did this thing in January. And by June, I was telling myself, I realized why he told me to wait. Like by June, it was something I regretted. By June, it was something that I felt like, if I had listened to him, everything I've been through the past 6 months, I wouldn't have experienced it at all. And many times when people tell us to do things and we don't understand, it's like a sign of protection. Yeah, like he's trying to, like the person that's speaking to you and telling you to do something is actually trying to protect us from it. But young people, we don't have the ability a lot of times to see it that way. And that's why the verse in John chapter 21, we'll come back and finish this, but if we go to John 21, very quickly, John 21, verse 18, the verse there. It says that when you were younger, you dressed yourselves and went where you wanted to go. And many of us as young people, we just get up and go where we want to go. Like we get up and go where in life we want to go and we don't think we need advice. Yeah, and that's why I said that this verse is speaking about maturity, because the verse is actually saying that as you get more mature, you will stretch out your hands. Like you will actually want someone to point you in the right direction. You will want to go where someone is leading you to go. Yeah, instead of just going where you want to go. In 2018, when I had that decision to make, I went where I wanted to go. I went where I felt like was best for me to go. And it was a mistake. It was one of the big, to this day, it was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my life. Yeah. Those 6 months are unforgettable for me because of everything I went through in those 6 months. I don't think I will ever forget those 6 months. Yeah. And recently I called my pastor, same pastor. I called him and I told him that I want to do something next summer. I had something specific. I told him, next summer, I want to do this. He told me you should wait 2 years. Like, you shouldn't do it next summer. You should want to do it the summer after that. You should wait 2 years. And because of that experience I went through in 2018, I told myself, I'm going to wait 2 years. Like, I don't really want to wait 2 years. As I'm sitting here, as I'm telling you guys, I don't want to wait 2 years to do this thing. There's nothing in me that wants to wait 2 years. But simply because he's told me to wait, and because of what has happened in the past, I will wait. Because he might be trying to save me from something. There might be some protection in what he's telling me to do. So I'm going to wait. And I don't really see why I should wait right now. But I will wait because there's something in it for me. Amen. So you must believe that when pastors and when people speak to you, you know, I don't even know how the message diverted here, but we are here. When you must believe that when pastors and when people who are you know, shepherding you, or even people who are important in your life, or important voices in your life, right? You must believe that those people that God has sent them to you. God is trying to use them to protect you from something. Amen. So back to Naaman, Second Kings chapter 5 and verse 4. As we close, time is fast, man. Yeah, 5 verse 11. It says, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. So you see, Elisha told him, go into the Jordan and bathe yourself 7 times. Yeah, just that's all. And the Bible says that Naaman was angry because he had a certain expectation. It says he thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and care. I mean, he had a fantastic imagination of what he thought Elisha would do. So he was angry because all he wanted him to do was go bath. Wow. And he thought that Elisha would come out, call on the name of the Lord, and wave his hand over the spot and cure him. Verse 12. Are not Abner and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Wow. Yeah, so he actually didn't do it. He didn't receive his healing. He didn't receive his cleansing. As you continue to read this story, he didn't receive his healing, nor did he receive his cleansing because he was so angry, because he couldn't see. Yeah, so pray that, you know, God will give you the ability to be wise in your youth. God will give you the ability to be understanding in your youth. Like when you are being given an opportunity, when someone is speaking to you, that your expectations don't change how you receive the advice. That your expectations don't change how you receive the person that's trying to speak to you. Amen. Proverbs 28 verse 26, quickly as we close. Proverbs 28 and verse 26 as we close. Those who trust in themselves are fools. Wow. Yeah, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Wow. That's it. Yeah, if you trust in yourself. And the Bible also says, lean not on your own understanding. Like, don't trust in you too much. Don't trust in you, because where has trusting you really gotten you? Let's be honest. Yeah, where has trusting you really gotten you? Trust in wisdom. Trust in the wisdom of God. Trust in the people God has put in your life. It is not by chance that we are all meeting, that we are all calling ourselves First Love Delaware. It's not by chance. So trust in the environment that you are in. Trust in the people you have in your life. Use them. Use them for advice. And when they give you advice, you know, try and take it. Even when you don't like it. See, advice is always easy to take when you like it. But it's much harder to take when you don't like it, when you almost disagree with it. Yeah, but you must pray that you don't reject it, because rejecting it can cause you to be in a position like I was in. Yeah, to be in a position where it's like you've made the mistakes. Now you're coming back to the pastor as you've made your mistakes and coming to tell him, you know, you were right. You see, and I remember I came back to my pastor and I told my pastor, oh, you know, I think you were right. When you told me to wait 6 months, I think I should have done that. And I remember he was just silent. Like, he didn't say a word to me. And there was nothing to say, because what is him being right? What does he gain from it? He doesn't gain anything from being right. There's nothing to say. You've already made the mistakes. You've already done what you wanted to do. So now that you're saying I was right, I didn't tell you what I told you to be right. I told you what I told you because I was trying to keep you from something. So let's always try and remember that as we're being given advice, especially advice that we don't like. Amen. So like we normally do with these determinants, we always finish the message. I always finish the message by giving you ways to improve this particular determinant. I'm going to give us three ways to improve your understanding. For those of us taking notes, we may not have these verses, but it's okay. Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, to write unto thee in that order, most excellent. Yeah. So having good understanding, having perfect understanding of something is possible. When you master a subject, it means you've had perfect understanding of it. Amen. So the first way to improve your understanding is you can improve your understanding by going over the same thing again and again. Going over the same thing again and again improves your understanding. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18 and 19. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, so the word of God, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Yeah, so as you are hearing this message, as you've heard we've spent 5 weeks talking about determinants. If you don't understand these messages and you don't understand the topic of the determinants now, the Bible says that the wicked one will come and catch away that which was sown in your heart. Yeah, that which was sown will, so even a little bit that you've gotten from this series will be taken away from you. That's why it's important to listen to these messages again and again and again. See, we don't record the messages just to make ourselves feel happy. There's actually a purpose behind recording, and it's to listen to it again and again until now the thing is sown in you. Now the message is now sown in your heart. It's like now the thing is sown in you, in your heart, so much that when the devil comes to try and take away what you've heard, he can't, because it's in you. It's in your heart. The message of salvation for most of us is in our heart. The message of you must do something for God is in our heart. So you see, the devil can never take away your desire to work for God. He can never, because at this point, it's now in you, like it's what you want to do. Amen. The second way to improve your understanding is you can improve your understanding by taking root downwards. You can taking root downwards. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31, it says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall then again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Wow. So in order to bear fruit upward, in order to grow spiritually upward, in order to grow as a Christian, you must go down first. You must have deep roots in Christ. It must mean that you must do your quiet time regularly. It must mean that you must pray regularly. You must read books regularly. You must listen to messages regularly. Yeah. You know, recently someone asked me, if I have the Macario 60, what book should I start reading first? Like, what's the first book I should start reading? And I told them, oh, the first book you should start reading is a book in the Macario 60 called Read Your Bible and Pray Every Day. Yeah, Read Your Bible. And that's the first book I would read, is Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day. It helps you to develop roots down. Yeah, you must develop deep roots in Christ. If as a church, we are ever going to bear fruit upwardly, like fruit that is openly and is shown, you must first go down. Like, we must first become more spiritual downwardly. Amen. So that's the second way to improve your understanding, is take roots downward, develop deep roots in Christ. Amen. And then the last way to improve your speed is you can improve your speed by reading again and again, reading the same thing again and again, reading the same books, the same stories, the same Bible passages, the same chapters again and again, help you to improve your understanding. When you're reading something in the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you, keep reading it, change the version, read it in another version. You know, I would always recommend, what the version that helped me really understand reading the Bible was a New Living Translation, NLT. Yeah, NLT version is a very nice version to read your Bible in. So if you want to really understand what you're reading and make the Bible actually interesting, don't just read it in King James and you hear a lot of there, thou, without, a lot of big, big old words. Read it in a newer version, even Amplified. It's also a nice way of reading the Bible because it'll help you to understand it a little bit better. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer as we close today's service. I think time is already past, man. But let's just have a quick word of prayer. Pray for yourself for a few moments. Just pray for your understanding level. Pray for your understanding level of the five determinants. You know, we've spent 5 weeks talking about speed, strength, wisdom, and understanding. So actually 4 weeks. We've been on it for a whole month. Yeah, we spent an entire month. Speed, strength, wisdom, and understanding. All four of these determinants, just take a few moments and pray for yourselves that God will help you to really understand the determinants. Just take a few moments. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us the chance to come and listen to a message on the determinants, God. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us, God, with one another. I thank you, God, that you will continue to keep us. You continue to help us to grow. I thank you, God, that our understanding level will change, that our understanding level will continue to increase, or that our understanding level will not stay at the same place. God, may we grow as we are doing the thing again and again, God, as we are improving our understanding by doing the same thing again and again. Help us, Lord, not to stay at the same place, Father, but may we grow. May we make a change. I pray for our hearts, oh God, that speed will not be a struggle for us, that strength will not be a struggle for us, that wisdom will not be a struggle for us, Lord, and that understanding will also not be a struggle for us. Help us, God, to be young people who can receive advice well, advice that we dislike, advice that we don't want to hear. Help us to be able to receive that advice well and to be able to listen the first time, God. Help us to know that our pastors have our best interest, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we give you thanks once again. Mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.